This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Family. First, however, our bulletin of church news. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Sunday urged the faithful to observe the season of Lent as a time of healing. The Pope's words came in the text of his Angelus address published by the Holy See Press Office on Sunday as he continues his convalescence in the Vatican. In the text, the Pope renewed his appeal for an end to conflicts and expressed concern over rising tensions in South Sudan and for a humanitarian catastrophe to be averted in Sudan. He also remembered earthquake hit Myanmar. Taking his cue from the day's gospel reading on the parable of the prodigal son, the Pope said through this parable, Jesus reveals the heart of God. He is always merciful towards all. He heals our wounds so that we can love each other as brothers, said the Pope. Dearest friends, he continued, let us live this Lent as a time of healing, all the more as it is the Jubilee. Turning his attention to his own health, the Pope said, I too am experiencing it in this way, in my soul and in my body. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
The Holy See Press Office published Pope Francis's Angelus Address on Sunday the 30th of March for the fourth Sunday of Lent as Jubilee celebrations continue in the Vatican. In the Holy Father's remarks, the Pope took his cue from today's Gospel reading according to St. Luke in order to urge all faithful to live this time of Lent as a time of healing. I am too, he said, experiencing it in this way in my soul and in my body. That is why, he continued, I give heartfelt thanks to all those who, in the image of the Savior, are instruments of healing for their neighbors, with their word and their knowledge, with kindness and with prayer. Frailty and illness are experiences we all have in common. All the more, however, he said, we are brothers in the salvation Christ has given us. The Pope went on to invite faithful to join him in praying for peace in war and conflict-stricken areas. In particular, he prayed for peace in war-torn Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Myanmar. In a special way, he again acknowledged Myanmar's suffering has greatly worsened due to Friday's devastating earthquake that struck the country's Mandalay region, killing more than 1,700 in the country, many others in Thailand, and leaving several hundred more missing. Pope Francis also said he continues to follow the situation in South Sudan with great concern. I renew, he said, my heartfelt appeal to all leaders to do their utmost to lower the tension in the country, adding, we must put aside the differences and, with courage and responsibility, sit around a table and engage in constructive dialogue. Only in this way, he continued, will it be possible to alleviate the suffering of the beloved South Sudanese people and to build a future of peace and stability. In addition, the Pope recalled how the war in Sudan continues to claim innocent victims. In this regard, he appealed, I urge the parties concerned in the conflict to put the safeguarding of lives of their civilian brothers and sisters first. And I hope that new negotiations will begin as soon as possible, capable of securing a lasting solution to the crisis. May the international community, he urged, increase its efforts to address the appalling humanitarian catastrophe. Yet the Pope expressed gratitude to God for positive events, citing specifically the ratification of the agreement of the demarcation of the border between Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, which he called an excellent diplomatic achievement. I encourage both countries, he said, to continue on this path. Pope Francis concluded his Sunday address by praying that Mary, Mother of God, help the human family be reconciled in peace.
The Pro-Prefect for the Section of New Evangelization of the Dicastery for Evangelization, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, presided over Holy Mass on Sunday on the occasion of the Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
In his homily at the Mass for the Jubilee of the Missionaries of Mercy, Archbishop Bruno Fisichella, the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, highlighted how the parable of the prodigal son who returns home was revealed by Jesus to allow each of us to discover how immense the love of God is. And we need to welcome that love within us to enter into the depth of that mystery when God offers the grace of reconciliation. In the parable narrated in St. Luke's Gospel, Archbishop Fisichella explained that Jesus could not speak of God in more human terms and with more meaningful traits in order to give voice to the love and mercy of the Father. He encouraged finding common traits between ourselves and both sons. Like the first son, sooner or later, we all ask for our inheritance. We want to be free, autonomous, to take control of our own existence, with the consequences of our failing then, because we end up far from God and his house, the church, and suffer as a result, he said. The second son, he pointed out, is very similar to all of us, as he reacts with anger and resentment to the return of his brother. And like him, for our years of faithful service, we risk confusing the gratuitousness of service and turning it into a weapon of rebellion against God. Archbishop Fisichella said that from the father's response, "Son, you are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours," he observed that here emerges our sin, as we do not understand the value of closeness to God. And just as the father rushes to meet the son, he added that the priest should go to meet the penitent, seeing him from afar and his desire to return to the house of the father. In the embrace of the son who's sinned, he suggested one understands how love forgets sin, and forgiveness forces us to look directly to the future, to live it worthily. I'm Dennis Jones.
The Missionaries of Mercy were commissioned by Pope Francis during the 2016 Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. On this day, the 30th March 2019, Pope Francis undertook a two-day apostolic visit to Morocco to meet with its people and political leaders. The Pope spoke about his visit to the African country during the General Audience on the 3rd of April 2019. He began by thanking His Majesty King Mohammed VI and the other authorities in Morocco for their warm welcome. Above all, he said, "I thank the Lord for allowing me to take yet another step along the road of dialogue and encounter with our Muslim brothers and sisters as a servant of hope in today's world. To serve hope in our day is to build bridges between cultures, and it was a joy and honor for me to be able to do this in the noble kingdom of Morocco, meeting both its people and its political leaders," said Pope Francis. He went on to explain that during his meeting with King Mohammed, they reiterated the essential role religions have in defending human dignity, promoting peace and justice, and in caring for creation, our common home. "The question of migration," the Pope continued, "was of particular importance, and I was able to thank the Church in Morocco for its commitment towards migrants and to encourage those who give generous service in realizing the following words of Christ: 'When I was a stranger, you welcomed me.'" Healing wounds challenged by postmodernity, learning from cultures, inspired by religions. These were some of the themes discussed at a just-ended conference in Rome, marking the 150th anniversary of the Society of the Divine Word. Founded in 1875 by Arnold Janssen, a young German priest, the society, often known as Verbites, now has more than 5,700 missionaries in 79 different countries. Father Stephen Bivens, an American Divine Word missionary and theologian, who gave the keynote address, spoke to my colleague Joseph Tulloch about the goal of the three-day conference, which ended on Saturday.
This is a conference that's celebrating 150 years of the foundation of the Society of the Divine Word, the SVDs. And the idea is to see what mission is about today and how we might be able to go forward. So the theme of the conference is the mission of God today, and we're looking at four aspects, and that is we're looking at the healing the wounds of the world, we're looking at being challenged by postmodernity and how we present the gospel, particularly in a secularized world, we're looking at how we can learn from other cultures, and how we can be inspired by other religions. So these are the four aspects. And we're trying to see if we can go now into the future with some of these ideas and continue our evangelization work.
So there are many obviously interesting elements I could pick up on. Uh-huh. We don't have time to go through them all. Maybe sure. The one I pick up on is this idea of learning from other religions.
Well, you know, I think God works particularly with Christians, you know, because God is fully revealed in Jesus and so forth. But God's also working outside of the church, you know, outside the boundaries of the church. And, you know, in many ways, in secret ways, as Vatican II said, God is working in and through other religions. And so there's a, you know, array of that truth which enlightens all peoples in every religion, us including traditional religions in places like Africa and Asia and Amazon, and also the great religions, you know, Islam and Buddhism and so forth. And you know, because God is working there, I think we can really be inspired by the spirituality of other religions. You know, I think, you know, I believe, and we have to humbly profess that we have the fullness of revelation in God, but it's only the fullness of God's gift. We can never fully comprehend it or understand it. And I think other religions can help us understand our own faith better. So in dialogue with them, I think we can, you know, and looking at their traditions and so forth, we can come to a deeper understanding of Christianity as we come to a deeper understanding of them.
Father Stephen Bivens, an American Divine Word missionary and theologian. A workshop for Portuguese-speaking Catholic journalists on how to craft stories that promote the dignity of migrants and refugees has just ended in Mozambique's capital, Maputo. The training session for the media practitioners from the bishops' conferences of the Southern Africa region, known as IMBISA, was organized by the Africa branch of the World Catholic Association for Communication, CIGNIS Africa, in collaboration with the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. In his opening remarks, the president of CIGNIS Africa, Father Walter Ihijirika, said the work of his branch is animated by the vision of the parent organization, which is to engage with media professionals and support Catholic communicators to transform people's cultures in the light of the gospel. He said this is done by promoting human dignity, justice and reconciliation. Meanwhile, in an interview on the sidelines of the workshop, Bishop Bernardine Mfumbusa of Kondoa Diocese in Tanzania, who represented the Pan-African Committee for Communications, or SEPACS, challenged Catholic communicators to come up with a language that portrays migrants and refugees in a better and appropriate manner.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to thank the organizers who invited me here to reflect on this topic of migrants and Catholic communicators in Africa. This is a very, very important topic because the terminologies have been weaponized. You hear in America now they don't talk of migrants, they speak of aliens, they speak of illegal aliens. So these are no longer neutral terminologies, so we need really to sit down and clarify what do we mean by those terminologies. I understand that CIGNIS' role is try to make sure that the information on migrants is reported correctly and in a way which is humane. So as far as CIGNIS is concerned, it's try to ensure that these migrants get the kind of support they get through our reporting.
That was Bishop Bernardine Mfumbusa of Kondoa Diocese in Tanzania. Bishop Mfumbusa is also the chairman of social communications of the Tanzania Episcopal Conference and a SECAM standing committee member. You can hear more on the CIGNIS Africa workshop in our feature family. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program Family.
This week, Cygnus Africa has been holding a workshop in Maputo, Mozambique, for Catholic media practitioners of the Lusophone-speaking countries. These are professionals, Catholic media professionals from Portuguese-speaking countries of Africa. The idea of the workshop is to encourage Catholic media to craft narratives or a language that is empathetic with migrants. It has been witnessed of late in recent years that the language used by Western media especially is often harsh and lacks empathy when talking about migrants and refugees. Our colleague, Zimbabwean journalist and media practitioner Quegas Mutale, is in Maputo for the workshop. Quegas linked up with the bishop in charge of the Social Media Communications Commission for Mozambique, that is the Auxiliary Bishop of Beira, Bishop Antonio Manuel Bogayo Constantino, and they discussed the merits of the workshop.
So, what are the key issues that will be addressed during the discussions, and what challenges should participants focus on in this workshop?
The phenomenon of migration is a phenomenon of all the countries. Not one country can say that it is only with people that go in that country. Or I can say it's a global phenomenon. This is important. The second one of it is the language which we use about these phenomena. Because they are not only one phenomenon of only migration. We have refugees, we have displaced ones, and we have many names and many people also between migrants. And we need to know well, and to need also to have the proper language, because don't forget, we don't need to forget that these are the human beings. First of all, they have a dignity as a person. That is important, because nowadays many people, when we talk about immigrants, when we talk about phenomenon of migration, we talk like things, we are going to sell, not like a person. And another thing is, what is coming up, that the immigration also brings its fruits in the country of the world. It's not only the negative part, but also the positive part. Now, all of things they need to always to say to well reorganize it, the process. Of course, generally, what we hear now and what the politicians tell us, it is the immigration is bad. When the immigrant goes, he steals his job. When the immigrant goes, comes with their criminals. It was like that. You have seen there, like here in Mozambique, you have immigrants who they have their shops, who they have bakers, they are in constructions, and of course, they are there. That means they are bringing also their experiences in the construction development. Look, we have people with the border crossing, like from Zimbabwe to Mozambique, Malawi to Mozambique, or Mozambicans to Malawi to work. I don't say about South Africa, where we have people working in miners. The majority of force of miners since in South Africa, the people from Mozambique. This is it has its impact so in economic impact. This is important.
So looking at what the participants expect, how can they contribute meaningfully to the expected outcomes of this workshop?
Yeah, I think this workshop, when we be ending, first of all, I think ourselves is make awareness of the language which we are using and not to follow the politician language. We need to see this, to have the proper language and how to communicate also. As journalists, as journalists, we need to communicate with proper language and not going behind of what we call political language, first of all. Second, to aware that this phenomenon will not end it because we are having this workshop or others workshops. Phenomenon of immigration is there. What we need it is to have a proper way how to manage, how to deal with this phenomenon without injuring ourselves. Also, when I talk about injuring, it is injuring with language and exclusion and what you call to go to the process now is coming out in Southern Africa, xenophobia.
So looking at Sydney's Africa and the church, what initiatives and advocacy efforts that are being done by these institutions?
Anyway, first of all, this is a good initiation. This initiative, not initiation, but initiative. You can see, we came from, it is pity that many countries don't come because of our situation in Mozambique, because people, they fear them. But change point of view to see that as Sydney's, as Catholic journalists, we have the same path and also to talk together to see how we can learn about this phenomenon and how we can communicate, how can we help our brother immigrants. This is good. It's good initiative. And I think that we need all of us to say that Sikis is doing a good job about it. We cannot solve the issue of immigration with a isolated initiative. We need to coordinate. But I think that this initiative is good initiative for the church, first of all, also for the societies. See that the church is preoccupied with a phenomenon of immigration. As the Pope said, that migrants are not numbers, they're persons.
Okay, so what key message would you pass to the media personnel? How can the journalists and communicators promote ethical and compassionate storytelling about migrants and refugees?
First of all, the way how we integrate in communication our brothers immigrants, the way how we as Catholics also integrate them in our communities and parishes, in our local churches. Secondly, the way how we, receive them. The last one, it is we as communicator, we need the language which we use in mass media or in our medias. Because sometimes our language also influences our parishes, dioceses, our churches, local churches, our societies. This is what this workshop is coming at. Let us have the good language for helping also our church to grow, how to integrate our brothers and immigrants.
So in light of the Jubilee as a year of Christ, our hope, what message of hope and action would you share with the faithful and society at large regarding migration?
The Jubilee of hope, it is giving us hope. For immigration, it is we are the one receiving them to integrate them. But when we receive them and we integrate them, that is we are giving hope. When we are talking well about the person or about these people here, already we are giving hope. The problem it is when we fear them, when we put them apart, we put them aside, that one has a negative impact.
Thank you so much for your time, Bishop. This month.
Thank you for you. And enjoy yourself in Mozambique.
Thank you so much.
Zimbabwean media practitioner Kweges Mutale speaking to Bishop Antonio Manuel Bogayo Constantino of Mozambique on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
Hello, dear listeners. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, the Pope's Radio. We want to start by thanking you for being such an important part of our radio family. We would love to hear from you. Is there something you'd like us to feature more? Share your thoughts and let us know how we are reaching you, whether on shortwave radio, on FM, digital radio, or through our daily podcast. Also tell us from where you are listening and from which of the local radio stations that are rebroadcasting our program. You can text or WhatsApp us at +39 331 759 3275 or email us at inglese.africa@spc.va. That is INGLESE for Inglese. If you miss out on our radio broadcast, you can download the podcast within an hour after it goes on air at 16:30 GMT between the months of October and March, and at 17:30 GMT between April and October. Just go to www.vaticannews.va/en. You will see the podcast symbol on the top right-hand side of the website. Click on it and then choose English for Africa. You can also download our Vatican News app from the App Store or from Google Play Store to listen to the live broadcast, which is also available from our website. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.